Today's Saturday, January the 13th, 2018. We're still in the book of Psalms, and we're still under the rubric, or we're still dealing with issues that we've seen in Psalms 32, where I say God will not be raped nor seduced. God will not have anyone to force worship on him at all. They will not force God to accept them at all. Their flattery will not cause God to enter in the oneness of the relationship with him. Then on Thursday, we talked about God is going to be praised by your confession and humbling yourself to him. If an individual does not humble themselves to God, if they will not acknowledge their sin, their wickedness, and their ungodliness before God, they will never be accepted in oneness with him. The word that we see in the Bible that's confessed, often it will speak of thanks, giving God thanks. It will also speak of praising God for who he is, what he does, and his righteousness. But in that 32nd Psalm, it's dealing with the individual confessing that I'm wicked, that I'm ungodly, and that you are right, and I have no access to you. I have nothing that I can do or say to make you accept me, because I'm the one that did wrong. I'm the one that's wrong. I'm the one that's dirty. And therefore, he said in that 32nd Psalm, I will confess my sin. You may say, Tim, you already starting out preaching. That's why, because we're not going to take long today. We got something else to do. So we're going to go right into it. Can we take it like that? Can we take it without chaser? Can we take our word raw? Well, ain't that the way it's written? So we're going to be going from verse 6 to 9, but I just for those that were not and did not benefit from Thursday, I just want you to just look at just a little bit of what we saw in verse 3. He said, when I kept silent, my bones waxed old. When I didn't confess the righteousness of God, when I did not confess that God's judgments are true, when I did not confess that God is always right and what I'm doing is wrong, he said, there was some pain that I went through. Can you be wicked and not feel the pain? If you can, I showed on Thursday, you have been given to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. You've changed the truth of God into a lie. You have worshiped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever, even if it's yourself and your doggone passions. That's where your homosexuality come from. That's where your murders come from. That's where your disobedient to parents come from. You disobey parents when you think they're not looking, but God has his eye on you. That's where you get the evil thoughts in your mind to do things that God are not pleased with. And then that 32nd verse of Romans chapter 1 said, not only if you do those things, but you have pleasure in them that do it. You might not be out having sex. You may not be doing fornication, and you may not be stealing, but are you looking at porn? Are you masturbating to porn? Are you looking at it? Are you looking at magazines trying to see who is naked so that you can enjoy yourself? You're finding pleasure in it. Do you find pleasure in seeing men kissing men on TV? Do you find pleasure in your political leaders when they lie? And you know that they lie. Do you find pleasure when they take something from somebody else and they give it to you or give it to somebody you like, and those people have done no wrong? He says, you find pleasure in it. And I say that, can you be comfortable in your heart? David said, when I kept silent, and I didn't acknowledge who God is and what God stands for, he said, my bones wax old, they turn old through my roaring all the day. Can you feel the pain of God when you sin? Can you be in adultery? Can you be in homosexuality? Can you be a worship leader in a church and you're pregnant and you're not married? are homosexual and you're not married? Can you preach the gospel to somebody and be telling the truth and you're cheating on your wife? You're a damnable fool. And before this lesson is over today, I'm going to show that you are a biblical dumb ass. I said a biblical dumb ass. And I mean it with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I will not take it back. You don't like the way I said, quit watching TV and get out of this earth and throw your Bible away. Then it says, for day and night, he said, my bones wax old through my roaring all the day. You can get to the place, you can be such a dumb ass before God. God's hand can be heavy on you and you take it and you don't want to get rid of it. You can lose your job. Well, I got another one. Don't pay as much. Lose part of your health. Well, I got some crutches. You can lose this. Well, I get disability. You can lose family members. Well, you know, things happen to everybody. And when the hand of God is on you, you're still stupid and you won't repent. Like a bad child. Parents take the video game from them and they go in another room. They took the video game, so I'll draw. Or they'll go into another room, instead of not being able to draw, you didn't take my phone. I can go in and play games on my phone. Or I go out and play with the other people. And if that don't work, I'll make up games in my mind. And the point was, is to take something from you so that you can understand that you are losing something and that you would return and that you would repent to the place where the relationship can be restored with the parent. Verse 4, for day and night your hand was upon me and I went through and showed how God's hand would be against his people, as it was on the other people. And I use the illustration from 1 Samuel chapter 5 when they brought the Ark of the Covenant in there with Dagon, that God, and God's hand was heavy upon the people of the Philistines, and that idol God cut his head off, cut his hands off, and he gave the men hemorrhoids in their bottom. Yes, in their bottom. Read your Bible. Quit looking at me funny. We talking about a real God. And then he gave them rats on top of that. And a lot of them died. Didn't it happen? They determined when that happened, we're going to do something about it. We're going to get rid of the cause of this heavy hand on us. And in their own little way, they repented for taking that Ark of the Covenant and they sent it back. But a dumbass, a biblical dumbass, will not do that. They'll go to the point of death. I know a man that was wicked and ungodly, living a wretched and an abominable life, and he knew that he had congestive heart failure, and he would not turn his heart back to God and died like that. There are some people that say, this is just the way I am. And you have biblical people that say, I'm righteous anyway. God's going to accept my worship. And many of them died when God had Jerusalem taken over. Read your book of Ezekiel. Read the 8th chapter of Ezekiel, where they had all this other worship going on that God did not want. And they continued in their dirt. Then we got to the place where he said, my moisture, my vitality was turned to the drought of summer. All of the goodness, all the productivity that could be used for benefit was gone. That's the time when an individual should be giving God thanks, when his hand is on him. I showed in Leviticus chapter 26, God said, all of this judgment is coming on you so that I can turn you. And then you won't turn. Then I'll do seven times more. And if you will not confess, if you will not acknowledge the wickedness of your ungodliness and your perversity before me, I'll do even more. Because you've broken my covenant, and I'm going to ease myself of my anger against you. Didn't he say it? He said, but when you get to the place that you realize that it was me, and acknowledge it was me, it was not the devil, it was not bad luck, In the words of this old song that I used to hear Miss Miller when I was in the fifth grade at Tadmore Elementary sing, and we thought it was funny because she sang differently from us because she wasn't black, but she taught us this song, and she said, "Not my mother, not my father, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, oh Lord." We laughed, but we learned the song. He went through all the different people that you could blame for your stuff. Standing in the need of prayer. Then we got to verse 5 where it says, "I acknowledge my sin unto thee. I confess, Lord, that you are right. I confess that you are the one that always set things the way they're supposed to be, and anything outside of that is perverse. When you gave me parents, when you gave me someone that would teach me the word of God, when you gave me your revealed word, it is right. When I crossed over, it was wrong. I acknowledge my sin because I want to restore the relationship. So I'm praising you. I'm thanking you for what you've done. And at the same time, now I'm confessing my sin that I'm the one that broke the relationship. I'm the one that's been trying in my silence, in my arrogance, not saying anything, to try to pretend like we're still in relationship when we're not. I might fool the people, but God ain't fooled, nor seduced, nor raped." And then he said, "You forgave my sin. You forgave the iniquity of my sin." So if you didn't get the message on Thursday, it'll be on the web. I gave you a foretaste. Now let's get into what we're talking about today, verse 6 through 10. Look at it. A dumbass will never be forgiven. A biblical dumbass will never be forgiven. Well, what would you call a dumbass in the Bible? There's a lot of things that you can say, but won't we look and see what the Bible says? Wouldn't that be good to look at what the Bible says? Because that's where we need to go. So if you will, go with me, Job 39, because I want you to get a taste of what the Bible calls a dumbass. Job had made a lot of statements to God, and God start asking Job questions about snow, about the earth, about animals. And as he went through the animals, we'll get to the horse, and we'll get to a mule. And then after we look at that, then I'm going to bring it to show you where God likens mankind to an ass. So what we're going to do is I'm going to cheat in our lesson, and I'm going to go ahead and read verse number 9, so that you can understand why I was able to pull this, how I was able to pull this, and why I use the provocative term that I use, because I want you to understand that there are sometimes people would call you a dumb ass, and it has nothing to do with biblical. You're just acting like one. And I want you to understand sometimes some of these words that we use that we call cursing, they really meant something. An ass was an animal. We call it a donkey. And that ass, it was strong. It could carry a heavy burden. It wasn't the kind of animal that would make you carry the burden. But let's look at what the Bible says. In Job 39, I want to just start at verse 13, because he'll bring it down to the horse. I think I did not read what I wanted to read in that ninth verse, so I'm going to go ahead and read it. It says, "Be ye not as the horse, or as the mule, which have no understanding." They're dumb. They're not smart. "Whose mouth must be held with a bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee." Why is the psalmist saying that? Look at what he has just come from when we talked about. He said he would confess his sin in verse 5. Didn't he say it? Yes, he did. But in verse 6, he says, "Everyone that is godly will pray to you at this time when you may be found. Surely in great floods of water they shall not come unto thee. And I explained to you all about the great floods of water, not only the floods that came during the time of Noah, but how God would bring his destruction on people. Listen to this, because seven is what we're going to squeeze juice today. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt... No, we already went back to, we've already gone back to Psalm 32 and verse 7. And so it says, thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. I will instruct and teach thee in the way thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be not as the horse. Or as the mule which have no understanding. A mule, understand what a mule is. A mule is a female horse that has been bred with an ass or a donkey. Got it? That's why I'm able to talk about, because even a mule is part horse and part ass. Now let's go back to Job, because I want you, because it's like, where he get that from? Where he get the ass from? It say nothing about the ass or the donkey. Yes, it did when it mentioned mule. Now listen to what it says. He's giving the picture of the animal. Gavest thou goodly wings to the peacock, or wings and feathers to the ostrich? 13. Which leaveth her eggs in the earth and warmeth them in the dust? And forgetteth that the foot may crush them, or that the wild beast may break them? Do you see what God is showing? You don't understand why I made certain animals like I did. That's just the kind of questions that he's asking Job. Look at verse number 17. Because God has deprived her from wisdom, neither has he imparted unto her understanding. Which at what time she lifted herself on high and scorneth the horse and his rider. I just want you to see that some animals are not smart. And as the Bible says, I want Dree to read for me verse 18 and start reading the 18th verse and let God talk about the horse.
What time she lifts up herself on high, she scorns the horse and his rider. Hast thou given the horse strength? Hast thou clothed his neck with thunder? Canst thou make him afraid as a grasshopper? The glory of his nostrils is terrible. He paws in the valley and rejoices in his strength. He goes on to meet the armed men. He mocks at fear and is not affrighted, neither turns he back from the sword. The quiver rattles against him, the glittering spear and the shield. He swallows the ground with fierceness and rage. Neither believes he that it is the sound of the trumpet. He says among the trumpets, ha ha, and he smells the battle afar off, the thunder of the captains and the shouting. Does the hawk fly by thy wisdom?
I want you to understand what he is showing. The horse is not afraid in battle. I don't care if you have a sword. I don't care if you have spear. I don't care what it is. Verse 22 says he mocketh at fear and is not affrighted. Do you see it? Verse 32 is talking about a man that has done transgression, iniquity, and sin. And David is saying, don't be like him. Don't walk around unafraid of God. Don't be without understanding that you think that you can just override God and be in your dirt and your wickedness, and it's okay that you just go on your merry way like a dumb horse. Do you grasp it? Do you feel it? Now, hold that, then you can hold that in your mind, and then when we go back to that, we're going to be able to pull all of this together in a short amount of time. But I want you to look at one more thing. And then one more thing I want you to look at is the ass. In Jeremiah chapter 2, verse number 22, I want you to understand There's a group of people that have turned their back on God. They have a lot of false prophets telling them that you're okay when you're not. They're not telling you that the judgment of God is on you and the hand of God is getting ready to destroy you. It's going to destroy your temple. You're going to lose your home. You're going to lose your everything that you have. And for 70 years, you're going to be under the king of Babylon. And those of you that stay here, you're going to be the poor, and many of you are going to be slaughtered. And every semblance of my presence, the temple, will be destroyed. How does God liken those people? Verse 22 and 23. 22 is going to tell them how wicked they are, that they can't even clean themselves up. Read it, Dree.
For though thou wash thee with nitre and take thee much soap, yet thine iniquity is marked before me, saith the Lord God. How canst thou say, I am not polluted? I've not gone after Baal.
How can you as a people of God, when you're outside of my will, when you won't say what I say, when you won't acknowledge my power, when you won't acknowledge my righteousness, how can you say I'm forgiven? How can you say I'm right with God? What do you mean they didn't say forgiven? In order for them to have worship with God, they always had sacrifices in the morning, 2 sheep in the morning, 2 in the evening, and a multiplicity of sacrifices. And they had different times, they had other sacrifices to show that the nation was being cleansed and right with God, okay? So we're not even accepting that God's standard is being obliterated in our mind. We're going to go on and have our worship with God. We're going to go through the ceremonies and the rituals of being cleansed. And God said, you're not forcing that on me. Are you with me? I don't want to have to explain it. If you're with me, read it again, Drake. Read the next part, not again. Verse 23.
How canst thou say, I am not polluted. I have not gone after Balaam. See thy way in the valley. Know what thou hast done. Thou art a swift dromedary traversing her way.
Do you know what a dromedary is? It's a camel, another animal. Read on.
A wild ass used to the wilderness.
A what?
A wild ass used to the wilderness.
The Bible says when you call yourself going to clean yourself up from your dirt and you're not going according to my standard. Now we started in verse 22, but I know what chapter 1 says. I know what chapter 2 says. I know what chapter 3 says, what God's going to divorce them. I know what chapter 4 says and chapter 5, what God said. I just want me a man that will tell the truth to you all. I just want a man that will confess what I say and acknowledge my righteousness and that you all are wicked and ungodly, and I'm going to put my hand on you and smite you. But in this verse, he called him a wild ass, a wild donkey. What else is it saying about that donkey?
That snuffs up the wind at her pleasure. In her occasion, who can turn her away? All they that seek her will not weary themselves. In her month, they shall find her.
I want you to understand, he's saying you're just like a wild ass out there in heat. The animals don't have to really look for you. All they just have to wait is for the time for you to come out there in your wickedness and you're going to do whoredom. God considers when you won't acknowledge him as righteousness, when you won't acknowledge his judgments, and you're going to be right and stand anyway when you're wrong, and you're going to keep your mouth shut like it's going to go away, and you're going to act like you're going to worship anyway. He calls that whoredom. You're not worshiping me, you're worshiping whatever thought it is in your mind, whatever way you think you can get yourself right and come before me. It's absolutely unacceptable. You are a wild ass. I'm telling you now, God is not going to accept a dumb ass. Now we go back to our passage, because I know the title that I gave. If you don't have the background that I have in my mind, it'll seem like I'm just talking stupid. See, the Bible uses that term. It uses the term brute beast. Sometimes it uses the term of people like a dog. Sometimes it uses the term of people being like a sow, a pig, turning back to his own mess. The Bible has a lot of terms that it uses for people. But this psalm said, don't be like the horse or like the mule. The mule is part horse, fearless, and then the horse, when it's mated with the ass, then we see in that particular case, both of them are mentioned. So, Dree, if you will, go with me verse to back number. I don't want six. I want seven now.
Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble.
You see, once this man said, Lord, I've acknowledged my sin. Once this man said, Lord, you are right and I am wrong in every way. What he has really shown at this particular time, you are the hiding place, trying to keep your mouth shut and not acknowledge when you've done wrong, trying to keep your mouth shut and let everybody that's your friend say you're okay when you're not. When you're not saying that God is right, his word is right, and I am wrong, I am worthy of judgment, you are hiding behind something. You are hiding by the acceptance of man. You are hiding behind the acceptance of your peers. You are hiding behind the acceptance of your family. And God, at this particular time, will fight you. You are acting like the horse. You are acting like the mule. You are, in essence, a dumb ass. Dree, if you will, go with me. I want to explain this thing with the scripture. Hosea 5, verse 3. This thing is good, saints. It's good. Because we don't want to acknowledge our sin. We don't want to acknowledge that we're doing wrong. As long as people in the church or in our families or our assemblies and our denominations will accept us, we forget about God. We have a relationship with people in the assembly because often they won't stop eating with you like God said. Often they won't tell you the truth because you don't want to hear it, because you've made up your mind, I don't want to hear it from you. Well, that be the word of God. You will hear it or you'll die in your sin and be damned forever. Bible says everyone that is godly will go through that. What does it say, Dree? Give me the sweetest word of God that I love so well.
I know, Ephraim, and Israel is not hid from me.
First of all, I know Ephraim, and Israel is not here for me. That's the same group in the north. These are the people that are in covenant with God. These are the people that are supposed to be godly. They are wicked, and they are, at this particular time, not confessing. They're not praising God by honoring him. They're not confessing their wickedness, and they've made their mind up. We're going to have relations with God anyway. And God said, you're not hidden from me. Read some more, Dree.
For now, O Ephraim, thou committest whoredom, and Israel is defiled.
So the same thing that Jeremiah, when he called him a wild ass, same thing, whoredom. Read, please.
They will not frame their doings to turn unto their God.
They will not frame their life to say, God, I'm wrong. Whatever it takes, whatever you do, I will turn back to you. I will acknowledge you. I will break off my sin with righteousness. They won't do it, Rocio. They won't do it. How sad it is. Read, Dree.
For the spirit of whoredoms is in the midst of them, and they have not known the Lord.
See? Adam knew Eve, and she got pregnant. And she didn't get pregnant just because he saw her. That's not when she got pregnant. New is to have an intimate relationship with her that's on the physical level as well as the spiritual level, where the seed is passed. And when the seed is passed, it is in the garden of the woman, and it produced fruit. And in order for us to be with God, the seed of the word has to come into us, according to James 1 and 18. And the seed is the word of God. And by the spirit of God, God gives the increase. Understand the Bible. Spiritual nature of God. On a limited sense is when the husband and wife come together. That's why the Bible talk about the mystery of Christ in the church. We become one with him, and he puts into us the seed, and the seed grows in us, and we bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold, but we can't do it without him. Jesus said in John 15, without me, you can do nothing. I cannot make a baby without my wife. And somebody said, you can go get a whore here, and then God's going to bust my tail, and I'll probably end up being divorced. And I might get killed and have disease. Who knows? If God does nothing to me, it's even worse. So the standard is that you come together, and in the oneness of the two of you all coming together, you produce fruit. The oneness of us coming together, being one with God, we produce the fruit that he wants us to do. We bring up his holy children. I could go deeper into that, but I got a time limit set in my mind. Tree, go ahead and finish reading that, please.
For the spirit of whoredoms is in the midst of them, and they have not known the Lord. And the pride of Israel does testify to his face.
The pride. Do you understand? You may not confess God. You may not confess your sin. But when you confess, you're okay. When you confess and you say in your mouth, I'm trying to get this right, but you hadn't done it God's way. Your pride and your arrogance is saying, God, you don't tell me. I got another way of doing it. Maybe some other preacher told you. Maybe a feelings told you, maybe you saw it on a YouTube video. I'm telling you that God defines what pride is. God defines what confession is. Read some more of the sweet word of God that I love so well.
Therefore shall Israel and Ephraim fall in their iniquity. Judah also shall fall with them.
Because of their pride, that my hand is on them. That's why they're going to fall in the iniquity. Read some more of the sweet word of God.
They shall go with their flocks and with their herds to seek the Lord, but they shall not find him.
I want you to remember this. What we read when we were in this same chapter, Psalm 32, when he said, I acknowledge my sin and my iniquity have I not hid. Remember that? We're seeing where the whole nation, they call themselves hiding theirs. Then David said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord, and he forgave the iniquity of my sin. We went through that, what God had promised, this is what he would do before. Then he said, for this shall everyone, this is everyone, no one is excluded. That's a qualifier. This shall everyone that is godly pray to thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Same thing is heard, found. Now, look at what Dree just read when she read that sixth verse. Read it again.
They shall go with their flocks and with their herds to seek the Lord, but they shall not find him. He has withdrawn himself from them.
That's the thing what I'm saying here. You will never be forgiven if God has hidden himself from you. You will never, because God is the only one that can forgive sins. And if you have pride, if you hide your sin, you will not acknowledge your sin when you know you're in it. I don't care how many people in your church accept it. Acknowledge it. Get it in the open. The Bible says, confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. God said, you hid it, and now I'm hiding myself from you. How can you be forgiven? How? Cannot be forgiven in that state. Or you need to pray to God that God would break your heart, or that the weight of his hand will cause you to stop hiding and you come clean with your mess. Then you won't be in that state. But as long as you're in that state, you won't confess. You're going to be dumb, not speaking it, not saying it, not acknowledging it. You're just going to be one of those dumb asses in the Bible, no understanding. You will not be forgiven. Tim, this is not an encouraging message. I don't care. It's the Bible. It encourages me to know what God says, whether I like it or not. Why is that? Because when I was wicked and I was ungodly, I had lost the fear of God. And a lot of my dirt that I would do, I would hide from people. I'd seen it. Like the old folks used to say, God seeded. So some old people say seed, S-E-E-D instead of S-E-E-N. God seeded. Read some more, Dree, because we making good time.
They have dealt treacherously against the Lord, for they have begotten strange children.
You beget children with your worship. Fruit. If you're wicked and you're wicked, you make your children wicked. And your fruit is a part of your production. How you live, I'm not going to go into that. It should be a self-explanatory. If not, we can discuss it. Read some more, please.
Now shall a month devour them with their portions.
When God has hidden himself from them, you can have your monthly services, your new moon, etc. But it's going to be treacherous. It's going to devour you, eat you up. Read some more.
Blow ye the cornet in Gibeah, and the trumpet in Ramah. Cry aloud at Beth-Aven after thee, O Benjamin. Ephraim shall be desolate in the day of rebuke. Desolate. I'm sorry, among the tribes of Israel have I made known that which shall surely be.
Now, I don't know if you all know that Beth means house, and Aven, one is iniquity. So when you're talking about, sometimes that actually means the house of calamity, the house of destruction, or where God is dealing with people. And in the context here, even if it were talking about a natural geographical place, you definitely see the context here. Your house is now being bombarded with God's judgment coming upon it. Read some more, Dree.
The princes of Judah were like them that removed the bound.
That's the problem. The people that were leaders, they moved God's boundaries. God said, don't. They said, we can. God said, do. They said, you don't have to. God said, this is thus saith the Lord. And they say, well, God understands. Or they say, the Old Testament is not for now. Or that God is going to have patience. They move God's boundaries. They move God's boundaries. You tell the child not to touch it. He touches it. He moves the boundaries. You tell the younger child, don't go into this room. I'm doing something in here. I don't want it open. The older one said, it's okay. He moved the boundaries. God tell you to be married. The preacher said, well, you can test it out first. God tell us not to commit fornication, adultery, homosexuality. And we say God's going to be inclusive. We remove the boundaries. Our princes, our leaders of our government say, it's okay to kill the babies in the womb. God say it's not. God says it's not, we can't have homosexuality. They say we can. God makes the boundary, gives a boy a penis and a girl a vagina. And we say, our government say that we can say the boy can say he's a girl. They moving the boundaries. And saying the girl can say it's a boy. You go and cut the boy male part off and say that he's a girl. You're moving the boundaries. We take a person and say, you are black, or you a Negro, or you African-American, and yet ancestry may not have anything to do with Africa. We move the boundary, their heritage, and they don't even know where they come from. You make it like black people in America only came on the scene, either when you say they were walking like apes or in the 1600s. Move the boundaries. You move the boundaries in education, but you don't really have to read well anymore. You move the boundaries. You don't need to know this much math anymore. Boundaries are moved. And this is what they did. You move the boundaries of God's justice and his righteous standard. And this is the leaders, the princes. The princes. Your government will do it. And your church leaders will do it. And your brothers and sisters that are supposed to be part of the people of God. That's why God warned. He said, if somebody said, let's go after this other God that you don't know about. I believe that's Deuteronomy 13. He said, you better not. You better not do it. I'm testing you. And say, and it said, if a miracle comes, if that person says something and it come to pass, God said, I'm testing you to see if you're going to follow my word or not. Read some more, Dree, so I can continue on where I'm going. After the boundary being moved in 10.
Ephraim is oppressed and broken in judgment.
I want you to go back to 10. There's a part I left out where the prince is, because that boundary, that boundary, I made sure in my mind I was going to stick on that. Read it, read 10 again too.
The princes of Judah were like them that removed the bound. Therefore, I will pour out my wrath upon them like water.
Okay, hold right there. Listen to Psalm 32 again. For this shall, Psalm 32 and 6, for this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the great floods of water, they shall not come unto him. The individual that trusts God, that looks at the boundary, God, you are righteous. I thank you for your righteousness. I thank you for your hand of judgment being on me. I thank you for making me see where I am. I thank you that you hadn't destroyed me. Everything that you've done has got me to this place, this pain and suffering. Now I confess my sins, and now the floods of water is not coming upon me like it was. I can't hide myself from you, but I can hide myself in you. It takes the mindset of being humble to God. And so he said, therefore, I will pour out my wrath on them like water. The difference is here are people that are hiding their sins. They moved the boundaries. They're not trusting me. Read some more, please, Dree. 11.
Ephraim is oppressed and broken in judgment because he willingly walked after the commandment. Therefore, will I be unto Ephraim as a moth and to the house of Judah as rottenness. When Ephraim saw his sickness, and Judah saw his wound. Then went Ephraim to the Assyrian and said to King Jareb, yet could he not heal you, nor cure you of your wound.
Do you see what's happening here, bitch? God's hand is on them to turn them around. His judgments and their sin that they're hiding on Ruby. And instead of going to God, they go to the Assyrian. They go to somebody else. Maybe I'll go to my cousin. Maybe I'll go to Pastor so-and-so. Maybe I'll go to this other religion. Maybe I'll go to drugs. Maybe I'll go to sex, rock and roll, my mama, my daddy. Somebody can make me feel good about myself. But all this is happening, and they can't heal you. It's me that's doing it. Read the next one, because it's going to show you how God operates.
For I will be unto Ephraim as a lion, and as a young lion to the house of Judah. I, even I, will tear and go away. I will take away, and none shall rescue him. I will go and return to my place.
How long?
Till they acknowledge their offense.
How long?
And seek my face. In their affliction, they will seek me early.
How long will it go on? It will go on till they acknowledge their offense. Now, do you see how David was saying the same thing? And now we see it spilled all the way out on a nation. It's not just an individual. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all of the nations that forget God. David said, verse number 5, go back and look in your Bible. Psalms 32:5, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity I have not hid. Ephraim should have known this, because David came way before Ephraim, and Manasseh did that. Ephraim split with Judah. And then it said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord. He forgave my sin. For this shall everyone that is godly pray to thee in the time when thou mayest be found, when you haven't hidden yourself from them. Surely the floods of water, they shall not come nigh unto them. Thou art my hiding place. They tried to find a hiding place somewhere else. They tried to find it in the Assyrians. They tried to find it in Jared. They could not find it. They could not be delivered from the trouble. Are you beginning to understand that a dumb ass, an animal-like person that does not have understanding will never be forgiven? Never. Go to 6:1, Hosea. I want you to see how God operates. This is beautiful. It's tasty. It's delicious.
Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he has torn and he will heal.
Remember what he just said in the sixth chapter the fifth chapter, I will be like a lion, I will tear. He said, he is torn. Don't be without understanding. It's his hand that's on you that's tearing you asunder. When you're in wickedness and ungodliness. Read some more, Dree.
He has torn and he will heal us. He has smitten and he will bind us up.
That word smitten is talking about when the hand of the Lord is on you. He's smitten. He will heal. Read some more, Dree.
After 2 days, will he revive us In the third day, he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord.
Did you see that? That's when you're going to know. If you follow on to know the Lord. But if you don't follow on to know the Lord, if you determine in your heart that you're going to still be wicked, if you still determine, I ain't going to ever get it right, I'm going to do just like I want to, when I want to, God's hand will be on you. And I believe that as a child of God, we should not be the kind of people that are so stupid that he can't help us. If we will go back with me to the Psalms 32, because I wanted to bring that out. I'm going to go ahead and read one last verse out of Hosea, since I got her to go back to Psalms 32. I want you to hear the word of the Lord in Hosea chapter 8, verse 8. Israel is swallowed up. Now they shall be among the Gentiles as a vessel wherein is no pleasure. For they have gone up to Assyria, a wild ass, alone, by himself. Israel has hired lovers. Yea, though they have hired among the nations, will I gather them. How is he going to gather them? I will submit to you, they will have to stop being a dumbass. And they will repent. But many, we know the background of this, were destroyed. They acted like an animal without understanding. Okay, Tree, take me back to Psalm 32. And I believe that's verse number 7. Then we move to 8, please.
Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance.
So we're almost through now. I just want you to understand this. He said, you are my hiding place. He had me in the secret of his pavilion. You are the one that I am, instead of being flooded by waters and overcome by it, I'm overcome by you being in your hiding place. And he says here, which is beautiful, those that are godly, those that have fallen away, those that repent, he grant repentance, they come back to him. God will be their hiding place like he was for me. Then, listen to this, you will preserve me from trouble. We can be in trouble when we with the Lord and we walk with the Lord and being tested, but that doesn't overcome us. That doesn't destroy us. Remember, always remember in the New Testament, the 7th chapter of Matthew, 2 houses are built. One is built on sand, one is built on rock. They both go through things. One is destroyed and the other one stands. Remember that? Okay. Now listen to this. This is beautiful. It says, thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. I want you to understand the sweetness of that. In Exodus chapter 15, God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, and there was a song. Do you all remember that great song? Listen to just the taste of it, Exodus 15 and 1. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel the song of the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider was thrown into the sea. Are you beginning to understand songs of deliverance? Do you all also remember there was another song that was given? Deborah, whenever they defeated Sisera, Deborah sang a song. Judges chapter 5, if you want to write it down. There was a song that was saying a song of deliverance, that God has done so much that the song wells up in your heart. Whereas David was a man that had done wickedness and ungodliness, but he confessed, he got it right. He was able to sing a song of deliverance, and he equates that with God delivering the people out of Egypt. He equates that to God delivering his people whenever they were being attacked by Sisera and an army. Can you understand how beautiful forgiveness it is? Forgiveness is? Can't be dumb. You can't be without understanding. You can't walk around like a stubborn ass and be a dumb ass before God. You got to humble yourself. Listen, David had a song in 2 Samuel 22 and 1. It says that David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hands of his enemies and of Saul. And if you all remember the book of the Revelation, it talked about the people in the seventh chapter of Revelation in verse 10. And the Bible said they cried with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation to our God that sitteth upon the throne and the Lamb." Go back and read it sometime. And in the 15th chapter, it talks about, and you start hearing them singing, and they having harps of God in their hand. And it's a beautiful thing. And they sung the song of Moses. Do you all want to sing the song of Moses? Do you want your friends and loved ones that hate God to sing the song of Moses? They got to understand the hand of the Lord. They got to understand there is no righteousness apart from God's way. I think I've said enough on the songs of Moses. I think I've said enough. Now I want you to understand. He said, "And I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way thou shalt go." Here's a man that's been there, in the words of people, been there and done that. I will instruct you how to get right with God. I will instruct you in the right way. It ain't no other way other than what God's way is. He says the same kind of thing in Psalm 51 and 13. He says, "Then I will teach transgressors thy way." When he has the Lord to have mercy upon me according to your loving kindness, Psalm 51, and the multitude of your sins. Tender mercies. And he said he acknowledged my sin. He didn't hide them. He said, "Then I will teach." But listen to Exodus 34 and 6. When Moses wanted to see God's glory, it said, "And the Lord passed by and proclaimed the Lord merciful and gracious." Listen, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth. Long-suffering. Do you know what long-suffering is, Josiah? Do you know what it is, Gabriel or Elijah? All those Bible names. Let me tell you what that means. God is the only one that's strong enough to hold his hand back from destroying people when they've gone against him. Bitch is not. I'm not. No, all of us combined are not strong enough to hold back God's hand. But God, and when his justice is ready to be met, he has enough strength and enough power to hold back himself to not do it right away. And as long, sir. David said, "I would teach people that." Because God could have destroyed him the moment he looked at Bathsheba the wrong way. Am I right? Mm-hmm. The moment he did it, he could have done it. The moment he killed Uriah. How about the time he could have killed Tim? I had a lot of guns pulled on me, okay? And I don't think I deserved them. I would still been just as dead in places I should not have been. But just because you're in a place you shouldn't have been don't mean somebody hit you, pull a gun on you. But the Bible says here, "You are my hiding place. You preserve me in trouble. Thou shalt compass me with songs of deliverance, Selah. I will instruct and teach in the way thou shalt go." I will instruct in the way. Remember the way? "That walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, does not stand in the way of sinners, does not sit." This, I'm going to instruct you in that way. "I will guide you with my eye." My eye is focused on what God's eyes are focused on. "I will instruct you with my eye." I will instruct you. I'm not going to let you instruct me. I'm the one to have the song of deliverance. You don't. And then he says, "Be not as the horse or as the mule would have no understanding." Don't be like a dumb ass. Don't be like a horse that's so bold that he doesn't see the fear and the danger. Don't be like the mule that you can overload, you can put a burden on 20 or 30% of its weight you can put on, and it just keep piling, and the mule just keep going and keep going, and it does not understand that this load is being put on them and that he could have another kind of life because God didn't make him that smart. You don't see people load up little cats with loads, do you? Cat will get away from you before it does that. Other animals will get away. Some animals won't move, but that mule. And look at we as people. How many of us as people would just continually go on no matter what happens. And it's like God can never get us to be humble. Now, if you have a computer, you can look up mule, where it says, don't be like the horse or the mule. But I'll just read you this little excerpt from Britannica. And it just says, mule, the hybrid offspring of a male ass, jackass or jack, and a female horse, a mare. The less frequent cross between a female ass and a male horse results in a hiney, or hiney, they spell it both ways, which is similar to the mule. Mules were beasts of burdens in Asia Minor at least 3,000 years ago and are still used today in many parts of the world because of their ability to withstand hardships and to perform work under conditions too severe for many other draft and pack animals. Mules are usually sterile. Don't be like that! Don't be like the mixture of a understanding or a dumb horse and a dumb ass mixed together that's got to be loaded down and loaded down with burden and not producing any fruit for the kingdom of God. Don't be like that. You won't be forgiven. All that pain and suffering is still lost. I wouldn't want that in my life. And he says, whose mouth must be held with a bit and a bridle, lest they come near to thee. Have you ever tried to correct somebody that's dull of understanding, that's stubborn as a mule, that's stubborn as a jackass, that's fearless as a horse, and you try to tell them God's word and they will attack you, sometimes physically, sometimes verbally, sometimes with slander. He always thinks so and so and so. She always says da, 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 da. Jesus described a person like that as swine. He also talked about a person like that being like a dog. He told them, he says, give not that which is holy unto what? And neither cast you your pearl before the swine. Unless they do what? They'll trample them under your feet and turn again and tear you. The person will let you know where they are by how they respond to God's righteousness. Will they praise him? Will they thank him for the truth you give them? Will they confess that they're wrong and that they've got to make the change? Or will they come again and tear you? Give me more, give me more, give me more. Well, not right now, not right now. You're going to hide behind your piety. You're going to hide behind your acceptance of others. And you're going to continually walk around like a dumb ass or a dumb mule or a dumb horse. Or as Jesus said, like the dogs, if you've been given something holy and precious, God's revealed word. Or you'll be like the swine. He's thrown them the pearls of his goodness. And instead of you taking those pearls and making them an ornament around your neck, you stomp on them and come at the person again. You'll never be forgiven in that state. Pray to God that neither of us ever come fall into that state. If we do, we'll be lost forever. But I will submit to you, the only person that can change a person from that state is God. David was there. David was there. And the pain and the groaning and the mourning, he acknowledged that it was God, the hand was on him. And God forgave the iniquity of his trespass. And he said, I will teach. And today I've tried to give what David has given through the Spirit so that we can grow. Father, thank you for your blessed word. Thank you for your truth, your power, your goodness, and your mercy. Please do not allow us to walk around without understanding. We want to keep silent when we should speak. That we won't confess, we won't give thanks to you, we will not acknowledge our sin, and we try to find somewhere to hide our dirt. instead of coming clean before you. That we want to find solace somewhere where we can't find it. Have mercy on us and those that we encounter in this life that we try to give your counsel. All of us that are forgiven, our job is to be prepared to teach and to instruct and to nurture. Father, we need your spirit to do it. Because there's an enemy that's trying to keep people locked in the prison of ungodliness and sin. He is the devil. And then we have our flesh to deal with. Grant us your power that some of us can plant, some of us can water, that you may bring the increase, that your kingdom will grow and spread like the big tree. Amen. Amen. And even so, amen.